Janosz Rudaki. It was the smallest house on the block, but it still looked luxurious to Jordan as he stood before its gate of intricately decorated metal spikes. 2 stories high, with a gabled roof, set well back from the street, gracious trees and thick flowering bushes adorning the front lawn. Rudaki's doing well for himself, Jordan thought as he leaned on the call button set beside the gate. Being a World Council member must pay considerably better than being a university professor. There were lights on in 2 of the second-floor windows, he saw. A figure passed by one of them.
Yes, Rudaki's querulous voice. Who is it?
Jordan hesitated. Should I give him my name? What if he calls the police?
Well,
impatiently. It's Jordan Kell, Professor. I need your help.
Kell? At this time of night?
I'm in trouble, and I need your help, sir. Jordan heard grumbling in a woman's sleepy voice. At last the gate's lock clicked, and Rudaki said,
Come in. I'll meet you at the front door.
As Jordan hurried up the walk to the front door of the house, he felt a few drops of rain pattering down on him. Glancing at his wrist, he saw it was precisely midnight. Do they control the weather? He wondered. Lightning flashed across the dark sky, and a roll of thunder growled as Jordan reached the door. In the light of the overhead lamp, he saw that the door was made of wood, with a schematic of the solar system carved into it. Grateful for the overhang protecting him from the increasingly heavy downpour, Jordan saw lights come on inside the house. The door opened at last, and there stood Janosz Rudaki in a disheveled maroon bathrobe, his heavy brows knitted, his expression dour, wary.
Come in, Mr. Kell, the astrophysicist said. Get out of the rain.
Half an hour later, fortified by a healthy slug of Spanish brandy, Jordan sat in Rudaki's study, unfolding his story.
So I was hoping that you could help me to reach Mitchell Thornberry in Chicago, he said.
The room was small, intimate. Astronomical photographs covered the walls. Data chips were strewn everywhere, in the bookshelves, on the couches and ottomans. Stacks of them were lined haphazardly against the wall next to the professor's desk. Jordan sat in a comfortably upholstered armchair in the only uncluttered corner of the room, Rudaki in a similar chair facing him. Like Jordan, he held an almost empty brandy snifter in one hand. The bottle rested on a small table beside his chair. His expression still cheerless, Rudaki said,
You've set yourself against the most powerful woman in the solar system. Halleck wants control of your wife's FTL communications technology.
She can have it, Jordan replied. Aditi's people have no intention of hiding it from her. We're here to help the human race.
Just like that, Rudaki countered. No strings? You want nothing in return?
I want the World Council to begin taking steps to protect the solar system from the death wave, which won't be a problem for 2,000 years. And to protect the other worlds that are endangered by the approaching radiation.
Worlds that we know nothing about. Our searches for intelligent life among the stars have revealed nothing, except for your aliens of New Earth.
The intelligent species on those planets are pre-industrial. They haven't achieved the level of technology that can create the kind of signatures you've been looking for. No radio or telephone, not even telegraph signals. Rudaki shook his head in disbelief.
I can get the astronomers of New Earth to show you their evidence, Jordan said, feeling a bit desperate. Those worlds are out there, believe me. Those intelligent creatures are in danger of extinction.
Rudaki sank back in his chair and almost smiled.
You are very passionate about this, I'll give you that much. This isn't a game, Jordan snapped. It's not some intellectual exercise. Lives are at stake. Whole civilizations.
And just how do you intend to make Halleck do what you want?
Jordan hesitated. Then, I don't know. The only course I can imagine is to go public with the story. Tell the truth to the people and let them decide.
You tried that once and it frightened Halleck very badly.
And she separated me from my wife. Jordan didn't give voice to the fear that he felt. What are they doing to Aditi? What do they want of her? With a dejected shake of his head, Rudaki said,
You can't fight Halleck. She's too powerful.
I've got to try, said Jordan. Perhaps
Perhaps you might help me.
Me? Rudaki looked shocked. I'm an old academic who was dragooned onto the council by the global lottery Halleck initiated. She won't even let me resign.
You want to resign?
I've put in enough time on the council. Look around this room. My work in astrophysics is moribund. I can't even go to New Earth and join my daughter.
And I can't even be with my wife, Jordan thought.
In her apartment deep inside the communications complex, Aditi was again speaking to Audrey on New Earth.
They are eager to learn how our communications technology works. Could you set up a meeting with our best technicians? I think that would help to ease their fears about us, and it would encourage them to allow Jordan and me to be together again.
She glanced at the digital clock set into the wall beneath the holographic viewer and saw that it was well past 1 a.m.
No wonder I feel sleepy.
To Audrey's inert image, she said,
I know that you can't reply for at least an hour. I'm going to sleep now. I hope your response will be waiting for me when I wake up.
But as she arose tiredly from the couch on which she'd been sitting, she heard a rap on the apartment's door. Puzzled, alarmed, she flicked her eyes to the screen that showed who was at her door. It was a robot bearing a tray of bottles and glasses.
Go away, she called. I'm retiring for the night.
Castiglione stepped into the screen's view, smiling softly.
Aditi, I brought you a nightcap.
I don't drink alcoholic beverages, she said, stretching the truth slightly. And I'm preparing to go to sleep.
The door slid open, and Castiglione stepped into the room, his smile turning brighter.
Our security people are worried about you, he said. You've turned off all their surveillance devices. They can't see what you're up to.
I want my privacy, Aditi said.
Castiglione nodded.
That's fine, but we must make certain that you're all right.
You can see that I am. Now please go.
Instead, Castiglione turned and beckoned to the robot, which trundled in from the hall.
I thought we might share a nightcap before retiring.
Aditi drew herself up to her full height, barely as tall as Castiglione's shoulder.
I don't want a nightcap. I want to go to sleep.
His smile turning almost into a leer, Castiglione asked,
Alone?
Aditi slapped his face as hard as she could.
Get out!
Castiglione looked shocked. Aditi could see the white imprint of her fingers on his reddened cheek.
Out!
Aditi repeated. Without another word, Castiglione turned and left the room, the robot rolling along behind him. Aditi slid the door shut and leaned against it.
But he can come in here any time he wants to, she thought. Any time he wants to.